Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome to Today's Issues on this Monday, September 18th. I am Ed Vitagliano. I am sitting in for Tim Wildman, who is hosting his spiritual heritage tour in the nation's capital and surrounding areas. Does that twice a year, and they fill up quickly. So when you get an opportunity and hear about one coming up, even if it's in the spring, sign up for that thing because it does very popular and fills up quickly. So Fred Jackson and Walker Wildman join me in studio. Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and One News Now, and Walker Wildman, assistant to the president. And really, our young gun for anything technical.
So I'm getting older by the day, but I guess I'm still young right now.
Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Happy Monday.
Good to be here.
Yes, very
after
good to be here.
A great weekend. It was really nice.
You know, I really had a good weekend, and here's why. I usually have a good weekend, but this one was extraordinarily good because my Bulldogs beat the LSU Tigers, which is very unexpected. Mississippi State. I went down to the game Saturday in Starkville, Mississippi, and we played LSU, and we won. And we didn't just win by a field goal or a touchdown. We won big time.
So, it was a whooping.
Yeah, it was a good weekend for Bulldog fans.
I watched that game.
Did you?
Because my son-in-law is in town. He's a big football fan, college football. And so we watched. He's an Alabama fan, and Alabama cleaned up also. But the Mississippi State, did they go into this as the underdog against LSU?
Yeah, LSU was ranked number 12 or 13.
Yeah,
in the
they
country.
Were ranked. They yeah. were
and
ranked.
Mississippi State wasn't in the top 25.
I was impressed with Mississippi State's quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got two touchdowns himself, did he?
Yeah, four. Well, he ran in twice and threw for two.
Yeah, so he had a good night. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a lot of people were watching the follow-up to Dak Prescott.
Yeah, that's right.
The former, who is now doing quite well in Dallas.
Yes,
he didn't yesterday, but he's
yes,
yeah.
But you know, a lot of people were wondering, State fans, okay, now that Dak is gone, what are we going to do?
Right.
This young man did a great job on Saturday night.
He's excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I was traveling for the ministry. Went to Baton Rouge. We just had kind of a meeting there with some of our supporters, and then West Monroe. So it was Friday night and Saturday night. I got my days mixed up, completely forgot that it was Saturday and thus college football. Mm-hmm. I had some time in the afternoon. I could have watched some games, but I was thinking it was Friday. And I think it was my son who texted me about Mississippi State. So after our meeting, I went back to the hotel and watched Texas and USC. And that was a barn burner, but I completely forgot. Missed all kinds of games just by getting my days mixed up. So, and it doesn't take much to mix me up nowadays. So, anyway, Walker, some of this information, probably not the Mississippi State recap.
Maybe.
But other things will be on the Facebook page, right?
Yeah, that's right. All the news headlines that Fred covers and Steve Jordahl covers, all that will be on the Facebook page. That's Today's Issues on Facebook. And we're also live streaming there. So you can go there, watch the show, comment, share your thoughts with us.
Yeah, and Walker apparently didn't get the memo for Red Shirt Monday.
I missed that.
Fred and I just happened to get the memo on time. All right, Fred, all kinds of things happening in the news as usual. You know, I can remember you saying, this was during the campaign, the primary season.
Uh-huh.
I remember you saying something about we usually get some sort of a break in the summer or something like that. But really, the news has been we've been drinking out of the water, out of the fire hose for a couple of years now. I mean, it just seems to be no let up to the amount of news and the amount of important things that are happening.
Yeah.
But we're going to start with one that's not so important.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you're a movie fan, it's kind of important. But the Emmy Awards last night. Now, I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but this morning, you know, you watch Fox and Friends in the morning and other shows, everybody was talking about the political speeches last night at the Emmy Awards. Shouldn't be surprised. I mean, Steve Colbert, Alec Baldwin, They're all there, and they use the opportunity, and there were other act. The level of, I think it is hatred for Donald Trump amongst Hollywood elites is absolutely incredible. And that was kind of the debriefing this morning. Political talk is not totally new to the Academy Awards, but most people were assessing last night's program as the most political that they have ever seen.
Now, this was the Emmys, though.
This is the Emmys last night. However, there was a somewhat light moment. Sean Spicer, he was chosen by President Trump to be the first White House spokesman. And you may remember going back to those late days in January after the inauguration, one of the controversial things was the estimate of the crowd who attended the inauguration.
Right.
And to be quite honest, I think coming from the Republicans in the White House, there was probably an overestimation compared to Barack Obama's big event when he became president back in 2008. So it was with some degree of surprise and shock last night that Sean Spicer, of course, he's now out. He's not in the White House anymore. But all of a sudden, amidst all this rancor and nastiness about President Trump, out comes Sean Spicer. Let's listen to what he had to say in those few moments he took the stage last night at the Emmys.
What really matters to Donald Trump is ratings. You got to have the big numbers. And I certainly hope we achieve that tonight. Unfortunately, at this point, we have no way of knowing how big our audience is. I mean, is there anyone who could say how big the audience is? Sean, do you know?
Now, at this point, he's pushing over to White House podium.
Yes.
This will be the largest audience to witness an Emmys, period, both in person and around the world.
Wow, that really soothes my fragile ego. I can understand why you'd want one of these guys around. Melissa McCarthy, everybody, give it up.
It was quite a moment last night. Again, they played this over and over this morning, but kudos to Sean Spicer. They say when he's, you know, since he's been out of that role, the real Sean Spicer has come out. He's really easygoing, fun to be with, and all that kind of thing. But a brave soul to go out there last night in the midst of that. I mean, the crowd was in shock.
The camera switched and was showing people in the audience, half of which I don't even know who they were, but they were mouths agape. I mean, mouths open, you know, jaws to the floor, looking around at each other. They couldn't believe that Sean Spicer. Now, the comment at the end that Stephen Colbert made, Melissa McCarthy, everybody, because she is, I think, on Saturday Night Live, when he was the press secretary. Melissa McCarthy played him in skits where they mocked him. They mocked everything having to do with the Trump administration. But listen, I think in these kinds of Hollywood gatherings, if you don't get up and say something hateful about them and judgmental, frankly, about the president, that puts you on the blacklist. Everyone's got to have their 5 second or 10 second diatribe.
Yeah, and really. The Hollywood is making a living off of us, the American people. We go watch their movies. Some of us, I don't really anymore. But for the most part, middle America sends them millions of dollars, billions of dollars in revenue because we go watch their movies. And they're still living off that. They're fine. They're doing well. The ratings may be down this year. But my question is, and I'm wondering, how many years do you go of ratings dropping every year before they begin to go, wow, our bottom line's being affected. Do we keep this up, or do we kind of shift back to get staying out of the politics? I would say it may take 5 or 10 years, but after so many years of ratings dropping, people's paychecks are going to be affected, and maybe that'll make them steer clear of bashing our president.
Well, in terms of the Emmys last night, at least what I've read initially, initial numbers were very low. Looked like it may be an all-time ratings low for the Emmys. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. They were up against football last night as well. To your point, you know, Walker, one of the things that has kind of saved Hollywood, and I don't know if this is ironic or just interesting, But the overseas box office is becoming increasingly important to Hollywood because they are aggressively marketing movies, especially the big blockbusters. You know, Thor will be coming out in November. That's going to be a huge moneymaker, the Marvel movies. Justice League, I think, comes out before that. And so these are big moneymakers overseas as well. So I think it may postpone what you're talking about because I remember the hullabaloo over one of the G.I. Joe movies that came out, which I never saw because they seemed incredibly hokey. But, you know, G.I. Joe, Great American Hero, that was the tagline for the toys and I think for the animated, the cartoon thing. When they came out with the live-action movie, they made them international soldiers, maybe even under control of the UN. I don't remember. But there was a lot of fussing about that because they were marketing that as to overseas as well. So they may be able to stave off any kind of repercussions, and they may be able to do that as well because the blockbusters, even in this country, seem to draw people from all walks of life, and that really kind of keeps their bacon out of the fire, I think.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see, but the analysis from last night is it just went over the top politically. And, you know, after a while, it doesn't really matter what Alex Baldwin says because he said it all before
right.
about Donald Trump. And people are getting weary, even those who may not be Republican supporters and certainly not supporters of Donald Trump. You can only be so negative, make so many negative comments before you're repeating yourself, and it just gets really old.
And these kind of shows are going to lose, they're going to lose half the audience to start with. That's why you're going to already be in a hole, so you're going to have to get a good ratings for an evening's programming. You have automatically dug a hole that you're going to have to dig your way, you know, climb out of. But Hollywood, like to Walker's point, Hollywood doesn't seem to ever learn. This is why they put out R-rated movies that very few people go to,
right.
knowing it's not going to be a big moneymaker, knowing that a PG or even a PG-13 rating is going to get you money at the box office. But there's a certain amount of ideology that still drives Hollywood, and they're willing to lose some money to make their point because they'll get a pat on the back from their fellow Hollywood people when they go to the next party.
That's right.
All right, what else we got?
President Trump today and in the next couple of days is going to be at the United Nations. Now, you may remember during the election campaign, he didn't have anything good to say about the UN, basically referring to it as weak and incompetent, and we're spending too much money, the United States taxpayer, et cetera, et cetera. Well, he's there today, and the first meeting this morning, they were talking about UN reforms. You know, as some people may be aware, billions of dollars, the UN is spending billions of dollars every year on so-called peacekeeping missions. I mean, the UN forces, which various countries contribute to, are all over the world. And in places where some would argue, well, you know, the hot spot is not there anymore. Why we still have United Nations troops there? So on the agenda today is about United Nations reforms, how to scale all of these back. And he's doing quite well in his initial speech there about that. His, you know, the UN rep from the United States, of course, is former Governor Nikki Haley. She has been one of his stars.
Absolutely.
It's almost like she cannot say anything wrong. And I remember some of her initial speeches at the UN. I mean, she was putting these guys from all over the world in order.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. It's a new day at the United Nations. For instance, we're not going to put up with Israel bashing anymore.
Yeah.
And Israel being mistreated by the United Nations. And she has stuck to that. In fact, today, President Trump will be meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu. Tomorrow is the big speech from the president. And this is where he kind of sets out his foreign policy agenda. And of course, there's, you know, North Korea is going to be talked about. Right. That's going to be there. He'll also be holding meetings with Latin America leaders. Venezuela, in that case, will be high on the agenda. And of course, always Iran. So this is a pretty good big deal for President Trump over the next couple of days. One of the things, of course, that he has been criticized for by Democrats, but also some other world leaders, is his America First kind of pledge. That was part of his election campaign. He hasn't given up on that. He still talks about lousy trade deals with China, Mexico, et cetera, et cetera. And but he's right in the middle of all of those individuals now. And so it's going to be interesting to see how he gets along, especially the reaction to his speech tomorrow. This is a pretty big deal for him.
Well, and absolutely agree, by the way, of your assessment of Nikki Haley, former South Carolina governor. You know, President Trump, I think even, you know, I think fair-minded people would say his team has been a mixed bag in terms of, you know, H.R. McMaster and some of these others that, you know, raise eyebrows amongst conservatives. But Nikki Haley has been a rock star in the U.N. And I know some people are critical about, you know, where she stands on some social issues. And, you know, so if she ever runs for president, which I think she probably should, those things will come up. But in terms of foreign policy and handling the U.N., she's just been outstanding.
Yeah.
The Paris Peace Accords, that is, you know, I'll just say this. One of the best things about candidate Donald Trump, and one of the things I think that led to him getting elected, was that he was not a politician.
Mm-hmm.
And he was apparently not going to play the political game the way it's quote unquote supposed to be played. One of the bad things about President Donald Trump is he's not a politician. You have absolutely no idea what this guy is going to do. I'll just say I'm here the last couple of weeks. I've just been befuddled, not sure. You know, all of a sudden now he's talking about DACA. He's making deals with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, which if you can make some really good deals to get something conservative done, if you grant the other side something, you know, on the liberal, on the left side, okay, maybe that's the way you do things. But the Paris Peace Accords, climate accords. I'm way back in Vietnam. The Paris Peace Accords, that was with North Vietnam. Sorry, folks, that was just a slip back into the 70s. It happens every once in a while. And so the Paris Climate Accords, you know, initially the Trump administration said, we're out.
Yeah.
And he did. He got criticized, as you said, Fred, even from world leaders.
Oh, yeah.
Because this was just anathema for the the left. And now you keep hearing, well, maybe we're back in or maybe we're not. I'm not sure how this plays out. But that's part of what Trump does by being Trump. Everybody is on their heels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has to seize this opportunity, in my opinion, to play back to his base, because for the past few weeks, he's been doing some things where I'm thinking, that's not what you campaigned on, Mr. Trump. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some things that he didn't commit to, which is fine, which I wish he would have, but there are some things like this Paris Climate Treaty and DACA and things like that where he campaigned on a very conservative viewpoint of these situations. And then he even was talking about pulling funding from the UN during the transition time because they were doing stuff that was contrary to American principles. So he needs to use his speech tomorrow. If I were him, and I'm obviously not him, but I would come out and do a speech and say, look, the US is about to cut back the money that we send to y'all, and it's time for y'all to pay your fair share.
Mm-hmm.
That's the American first policy that I campaigned on. I don't think he's going to do that because that's controversial. The media will crucify him. They'll say he's trying to cause doom and gloom across the world by pulling out money from the UN. But he needs to do something to play back to his base, because for me, if people are feeling like me, they're feeling kind of betrayed.
Well, even just one quick thing, even Afghanistan, you know, the insertion of more troops when it appeared from this campaigning that we were going to pull out of there. Go ahead, Fred.
Right.
Let me run something by you guys and see what you think. There's Donald Trump candidate, Donald Trump president in the initial months. I think he's upset because he doesn't feel his fellow Republicans are doing enough. You know, the whole Obamacare that's been a disaster, replacement for Obamacare. He held, you know, his White House dinner there last week with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. I think Donald Trump is a businessman who's always calculating. And so, as other people have noted, he had that dinner with Schumer and Pelosi after kind of going with them on the other matter what was it, on the debt ceiling.
Yes.
All right. And then he makes the move on DACA. He throws it to the lawmakers. Now, there was a little bit of disagreement as to whether there was a deal on DACA at that dinner the other night. But if I was a betting man, as Brother Don often has said on the air, I think there will be a deal of sorts that probably will make the Democrats happy. When I see Donald Trump's policies, I see he started off with the pendulum way over here, and now he's coming back.
Yeah.
I think over the next several months, you may see a President Donald Trump who almost appears to be a hybrid between Republicans and Democrats. I think he's thinking about gathering in some of the moderates that he may believe that he'll do fine. Well, of course, he's not up for election until 2020, but he believes that he can attract more moderates, independents into the Republican camp. As I say, don't underestimate his thinking. He's not a politician.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he's starting to think like a businessman under that political umbrella. How can I make the deal in 2018? And I think he's moving in that direction. Now, working for him, if that is the plan, and that's my speculation, is the Democrats are in disarray.
Yes.
They are in disarray. Republicans, despite the media's attack on President Trump, are raising money like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Democrats are not. They're in trouble. They don't have a leader anymore. You know, they've tried, a couple of individuals have kind of percolated to the top. I mean, you've got Bernie Sanders now attacking Hillary Clinton, who's out there selling her book. I was reading somewhere this morning the Democrats are really upset with Hillary Clinton's book because it's resurrecting all the things that helped them lose last year. Mm-hmm. So you put all of this together in this cake that Donald Trump, I think, is putting together, and I think it's calculated. I think that's where he is.
I think he strikes me as crazy like a fox. You know, the old expression, crazy like a fox. He's crazy, sure, but he's crafty and shrewd, and you think his move is crazy, but he's making sure he gets into the hen house. I'm explaining the meaning of the metaphor there. But I think you may be right. I don't think the majority of Americans are at either wing. Okay, yeah, I don't think that they are very conservative, and I don't think they're very liberal. You're talking about the Democrats. You've got Bernie right now. You've got Hillary Clinton, who's kind of getting close to being being mocked widely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but so you got Bernie Sanders. You have Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris from California.
Mm-hmm.
Those three seem to be rising stars. Well, Bernie Sanders, you know, ran for president, but they seem to be the flag bearers. I don't think the American people want to go that far left.
Mm-hmm.
So President Trump may be calculating that if I can give some things to my base, he's been very strong on religious liberty. We've been very pleased mm-hmm. with that. I think we'll get good members of the federal judiciary if he can get in past the Senate.
Yep.
And now he may be saying, I'm just going to get some things done. It may not be the whole loaf, but it's going to be a half a loaf. And I think the American people will approve.
And I think the other big thing for next year is the economy.
Yes.
If people have jobs, people have good paying jobs, and he can say, look, these companies are coming back to America. He gets a bid on tax reform, which is on the front burner right now. If people are working and they're making money, can they buy new cars, new houses, the Republicans will do well next year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? We're going to wait and see. Hey, and we will be paying attention tomorrow. The big speech is tomorrow, right?
Yes, sir.
For the UN. We'll be paying attention to that. We'll be covering that. And American Family News will be covering it. And One News Now will be paying attention to those big events. We're going to take a short break, folks, and we will be back for more of today's issue.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Frank Turek of Cross Examine.
How much of your loneliness, pain and suffering, relationship friction, broken relationship, sin, guilt, meaninglessness, discontent, how much of that in your life is self-inflicted.
We'll also get an up-close view on the latest in the news. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Peace. Be still. Why are you so afraid?
Our nation is in the throes of an especially treacherous hurricane season. The magnitude of devastation is heartbreaking. But with heartbreak comes hope. Faithful believers are going in after the storms to help survivors.
We have seen the hand of God, which no man can control.
Disasters bring an opportunity for you and I to show Jesus.
Whether hurricanes, disease, financial ruin, or even loss of life, God is faithful through the storm. Even the wind and the waves obey Him. As He is faithful, may we continue to be faithful to share God's love. A reminder from the American Family Association.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. Tinseltown unleashed on President Trump at the Emmys Sunday night. It was an embarrassing display of vulgarity and petulance, even by Hollywood's low standards. It was not so much an award ceremony as it was a more narcissistic version of a Democratic National Committee meeting. The self-absorbed crowd lavished love on Hillary Clinton, hurled insults at President Trump. Within just a few moments, host Stephen Colbert had navigated through an opening segment that included references to the Confederacy, global warming, and Nazis. There were a bevy of jokes about impeachment and orange hair, but the worst of the worst were the squawking magpies, Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda. They called the president a sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot. So much for that adage that with age comes wisdom. Last night only affirmed what we already knew, America. The folks who play make-believe for a living are lacking in social graces. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano is sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. He is in the nation's capital with his spiritual heritage tour. He will be back, I think, either Friday or next Monday. I'm not sure. Do you know?
He should be here for Trivia Friday.
Okay. All right. Yep. Great. And so we'll cover the news while he's there and hope he doesn't get slimed by being in the nation's capital, you know, like something out of a Ghostbusters movie or something. Yeah. But anyway, that's a great tour. Lots of folks who go just love it. So those are upcoming. I think another one in the fall. Make sure you get advance warning of when that's going to be happening and sign up. I'm joined in studio by Walker Wildman, assistant to the president. Walker, who do we have next?
Yeah, right now we have on Dr. Winfred Neely, professor at Moody Bible Institute, and Dr. Neely is also an author. And thank you, Dr. Neely, for coming on the show.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I'm very glad to be here, honored to be on air with you this morning.
Well, Dr. Neely, you have written a book, How to Overcome Worry, Experiencing the Peace of God in Every Situation. So let me just lay this out for you here a little bit. The potential for nuclear war with North Korea. We have Iran, all kinds of problems there. $20 trillion in debt, and that's just my neighbor. Racial strife, Antifa riots. Why in the world would anybody be worrying in America?
You know, yeah, I hear all of that loud and clear. And, you know, humanly speaking, I think we have every reason to worry, humanly speaking. I was in the airport earlier last week and on my my way to Waco, Texas, and I came across a newspaper headline talking about Hurricane Irma, 300 miles wide and clobbering, islands in the Caribbean and so forth and so on. And so I'm looking at this and thinking, my goodness. And yet, on the other hand, I thought about this text of scripture that said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I was reminded once again that God has the holy audacity to step into our confused, perplexing, and troubled world and help us gain victory over anxieties and worry, which, humanly speaking, in many respects, we would consider to be warranted. And so the gospel is the only solution to the human dilemma. And apart from Christ and apart from the Word of God, we have every reason to be worried. But the Scripture tells us not to do that. It provides us with healthy, wholesome alternatives to worry.
Dr. Neely, along with the world troubles and even the troubles in our country that everybody can see, there are also, on a personal level, there's families that are broken, people that are hurting, they've lost their job, maybe their spouse has left them, their children have gone astray, things like that. It's sin is what it is. What would you say, and in your book, do you address that on a personal level?
I do, and I want to, I do. God, the Lord Jesus, really cares about us, and He cares about people, and He helps us in the midst of our personal perplexities and difficulties and setbacks and hurts and disappointments. I have a friend of mine who thought he was free of cancer, and now the cancer has come back. And I'm preaching, because in addition to being a pastor, a professor at Moody Bible Institute, I pastor a church. And I'm looking at this dear brother's wife in church and sitting in the pew as I was preaching yesterday. And I'm thinking, Lord, help me to be your instrument to speak your word to this dear sister that's hurting, that's confused, that's perplexed, and doesn't know what the outcome is going to be with her own husband. Hmm. And so, yes, the book addresses those kinds of issues and even deathbed issues, for that matter. I talk section of the chapter on prayer about how the Lord graciously helped me to conquer my own anxiety at my own mother's deathbed. Hmm. I was there. I watched my own mother die. And how God just gave me grace and strength and help not to capitulate to worry. Because frankly, that's not what she needed from me at the time anyway. She needed the prayer for support of all of us who were in that room as she was crossing the Jordan to meet Jesus on the other side.
Our guest is Dr. Winfred Neely, who's a professor at Moody Bible Institute. He's written a book, and it's titled, How to Overcome Worry, Experiencing the Peace of God in Every Situation. And I can't think of a better subject for a time when there is so much that Christians are worried about. Dr. Neely, I remember many years ago in the early 80s, I was a student at a Bible college, and I was engaged to the woman who would become my wife. We've been married 36 years. And I remember going to one of the instructors there who did some counseling with students, and I said, I'm having some trouble with anxiety. I said, if it's just me going through life, I don't think I would have many worries. I said, but I'm about to get married, And what if the devil tries to get at me by hurting my wife? Now, since then, my wife and I have kids. We now have grandkids, and those kinds of concerns only grow. You know, when my kids graduated from college and moved out of the house, you'd think you'd just go, phew, well, mission accomplished, no worries anymore. They're adults, they're on their own. But you don't ever stop struggling with and the battle against being worried for them. And then grandkids on top of it. If I live long enough, there'll be great grandkids. So in light of the subject of your book, and you've already mentioned a couple of scriptures, how does a Christian walk the line between putting their focus on Jesus and the promises of his word and artificially pretending they don't care? You know, because that, you know, I don't care. I'm going to convince myself that I'm not worried. So I'm going to pretend that I don't care. How does a Christian walk that thin line?
Well, you know, I think there's one word that you mentioned that's very, very important here. That's the word care. As I understand Scripture, there's a difference between worry and care or concern. So on one hand, we have care and concern, and on the other hand, we have worry. And what's interesting to me that this expression, "be anxious for nothing," this word, this Greek term that's translated by anxious, is the same word that's translated by concern in the same book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 20. It says, "Well, I have no one else." Paul says, "A kindred spirit," speaking about Timothy, "who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare." Same term that's translated by anxious in chapter 4. So the Spirit of God Himself makes a distinction between concern and worry. We are to care. We are to be concerned. But concern in Scripture is rooted in faith. It's rooted in trust in the Lord, and in the context of walking with God, we've got children. We're concerned about how they're doing. Grandchildren, we care deeply. And we're concerned about them. Their health problems, their physical development, and other issues that they. You know, and invariably faith as children growing up in a fallen world. Worry, on the other hand, is a form of practical atheism. That is, we confront the problems of life and act and perhaps think that God does not exist. It's rooted in unbelief. It's rooted in sinful self-reliance, and it's rooted in pride, too, believe it or not, because we want to be in control. And when we realize that we are not in control, it's hard to let go and take God at His word and trust God and to move forward in faith deeply, deeply concerned about people. Now, for example, we have a violence problem in certain parts of the city of Chicago.
Right.
Kid was shot yesterday. 70-year-old kid was shot yesterday in front of a church.
Hmm.
Listen, I'm deeply concerned about that.
Right.
Right? Hmm. Now, and so we need to figure out, okay, you know, how do we cooperate with law enforcement? What safety measures do we have in place for our parishioners? What kind of plans do we have in place for emergencies, so forth and so on? These are practical expressions of concern. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't have to be worried and assume that I, by myself, am responsible for dealing with this problem. I am not. God will give us all of the grace and help and strength and wisdom that we need to navigate life's difficulties. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Neely?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we're going to have to let you go. We've got another guest coming on, but that is very helpful. Mm-hmm. I just want to tell you, I'm being honest. That is a very helpful distinction that you've laid out.
Yeah.
And I am going to take that and chew on it. I mean that sincerely. That actually clears some things up. You just laid that out so beautifully. I want people to get a copy of your book. Please let our listeners know the name, the title of the book, and where they can get a copy of it. And if you have a website where people can go and maybe read some of your other writings, tell our listeners all of this.
Sure. Well, you can get the book at Amazon.com or Moody Publishers.com. And if you just Google Moody Bible Institute and type in the link space, Dr. Winfred Neely, all of my information will come up. Or if you Google Judson Baptist Church Oak Park, you have more information about me. You can see some of the sermons online and so forth and so on.
Our guest has been Dr. Winfred Neely. He's a professor at Moody Bible Institute. His book is titled How to Overcome Worry, Experiencing the Peace of God in Every Situation. Dr. Neely, thank you so much for being our guest, and thank you for this very timely work that you have published.
It's my pleasure.
All right. Thank you, sir. Boy, that really was good. That just helps me. You just got to remember to keep God front and center.
Yeah.
Even if you have care and concern, you do what you can, but do not act as though you are doing this yourself.
Yeah, and the difference there, the way he explained between concern and anxiety is very helpful because, you know, it doesn't mean, and often it's easy to say, well, if I shouldn't be anxious and I shouldn't be concerned about situations, but it's okay to be concerned according to Scripture, but just don't let the anxiety get the best of you.
Yeah, right. So. Excellent work there. All right, well, we want to welcome our next guest to the program, Ginger Millerman. Her and her husband, Joel, I consider them personal friends. I've known them for years when I was pastoring in the Tupelo area for over 18 years. Had her and her husband to our church on a number of occasions. Ginger is an author and a songwriter, and she has written a book. This is unusual for us here lately, having a couple of authors on back-to-back, but she has written a book, Everything We Need, His Strength for Our Journey. Ginger, welcome back to Today's Issues.
Thank you. Good morning. It's great to be here.
Well, listen, we caught back up, I don't know, a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. You and Joel were traveling through, and you stopped by, and it was lunchtime, and hey, he's trying to find somebody that you guys, remember, because our whole ministry, those who remember who were here when you were traveling and singing, loved you guys, and there were a whole lot of people out at lunch, so I got the chance to take you around again and catch up. The interesting thing is we hadn't seen you in a while, and there's a reason. There's a reason for that. Tell us a little bit about this book, Everything We Need, His Strength for Our Journey, and how God just happened to allow you to go through something that enabled you to take these timeless truths and use them in your own life.
Yes, God's timing is really amazing, isn't it? He always has a plan, and we don't always see that whole plan all at once, and we look back and are amazed at the work that he's doing. I started to write this book a long time ago. I was doing conferences called Strength for the Journey and just teaching women, do a lot of women's conferences, how to get through trials in a way that really pleases the Lord and how to not be overwhelmed. I loved what Dr. Neely said, you know, how to have that care and concern without worry. And so I took those principles I've been teaching on, and I put them into a book, Everything We Need, His Strength for Our Journey. And literally about 1 week after I finished my first draft, my health completely fell apart. I had been having some problems for several years that were very vague and weren't completely overwhelming. We were still able to tour, and I was still able to teach and do concerts. But that morning, I had driven my kids to school and dropped them off. I was on my way to the gas station and pulled up behind my husband and passed out at the wheel. I had just been diagnosed a few months earlier with a very rare vascular syndrome involving my kidney, and I had no idea that that was kind of like a ticking time bomb. I didn't know that it was going to completely wreck my health. And so over the next several months, I became basically homebound. I had dysautonomia, which is a complete dysfunction of the autonomic nervous system, and my life completely drastically changed. And right after I finished this book on trials. And
yeah,
so
that's like the old kind of, I guess, the old saw, you know, the old expression or statement that, you know, don't ever pray to God for patience.
For patience, right.
Because you're good. So don't ever write a book about, I don't want to discourage anyone. This was, I think, a very unique set of circumstances. Now, the thing of it is that really one of the things, you know, God's purposes are not, you know, bound or restricted to our, you know, circumstances. But one of the things that kind of jettisoned you into a public ministry was some of the earlier trials that you and Joel went through. Just briefly, some people may remember the name. They may not remember the circumstances that you were on the program for before regarding your twin boys.
That's right. This was years ago. Joel was actually a pastor, and we had a daughter who was 18 months old, and we found out we were expecting twins, and 4 days later they were born. So one of the bigger shocks of my life, they were born very early. Brennan and Jarrett were 2 pounds, 14 ounces apiece, and Brennan was healthy and Jarrett just was not. His airways and lungs had not developed. He had very severe airway and lung disease, and at 4 days old was flown to a hospital 250 miles away from us. By the time he was 4 months old, he'd undergone major stomach reconstruction. He had a tracheostomy. He was on life support. He was G-tube fed. And by the time he was about 5 months old, our doctors had given up and actually sat down with us, told us he would have no quality of life. He would have severe cerebral palsy, would never walk, would never talk, pretty much would be institutionalized his whole life. And they asked us to take him off of life support and let him die.
And things can't happen just like the doctor said, didn't it?
No, they did not. We really had to fight for him and go against what all of our doctors wanted us to do. We refused to let him go, and it was a long journey. He survived. He was in the hospital for over a year before he came home and on life support for about 4 years. So it was a very long journey, very delayed, very hard. Brennan and Jarrett are now 21 years old. And Jarrett is a senior in high school. He has run cross country, that little boy that was never going to walk or talk or do anything. He loves the Lord with his whole heart and is so excited about his future. And God has just done amazing things through his life.
Ginger, this is Walker here. You mentioned earlier about, you know, we go through trials as Christians, and we know on the other side that God has a plan, and he will reveal that plan to us in the long run. But when you're in the midst of struggles and trials, it's hard to just continue that thought that God has a plan, God has a plan. And so what would you say, what kind of encouragement would you give to folks who are in the midst of struggles and just need that glimpse of hope to know that God has a plan?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, especially in this last trial, going through waiting for months and being chronically ill, and waiting for God to move and do something, I realized I just had to wait on him. And I realized I just had to go back and wait quietly for the Lord. Lamentations 3:26 says, "It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." And that's a hard thing for me. I'm not a waiter, and I'm not very quiet. And I think I just would have to say God does have a plan. He does have good things in mind for you. He promises that. His word is full of promises, and you can trust him. Our God is trustworthy. And there is just something to be said for choosing to suffer well and wait to see the hand of God in your life and see what he will do. He does have good plans.
Well, one of the chapters in your book, and again, just to reset things, we're talking with Ginger Millerman. Many of you who are longtime listeners of Today's Issues remember the Millermans. We've had them on I think, a couple of occasions on Today's Issues, Ginger and her husband Joel Millerman. And Ginger has written a book, Everything We Need, His Strength for Our Journey. And Ginger, one of your chapters is titled A Trusting Heart. Now, that's a very difficult thing for Christians to do when we're in the midst of something, even life-threatening. Your syndrome that you had, and I know we're kind of running out of time here, but talk a little bit about how this thing unfolded, because it was some kind of miraculous things that that happened. But how do you hold on and trust the Lord when we all want to snatch it back, our circumstances, and say, God, this is what I want to see happen? How do you say whatever you want, God?
Oh, boy, that is really hard. You know, I just look at it for myself. I came to the point of realizing I can either fight this and I can ask why and I can just continue to just wonder and ask why, what are you doing, God? Or I could just choose. I know my God is trustworthy. I know he's faithful. I've seen him be faithful in the past. And for me, going back and remembering what God has done, the psalmists do it all the time, right? They go back and say, remember what God has done. And there's a reason for that. We need to remember the faithfulness of God. And then we have to just literally choose that we will trust him and we will wait. My circumstances did not go away right away. It was very difficult. It was very interesting. I went to the Mayo Clinic and I went through a lot of tests. And at the end of the day, the best solution for me was to have my kidney removed. And that was very drastic. And so God actually made a way for me to do that and help someone else. I was able to donate my kidney last summer to a wonderful lady in Oklahoma City. And it was a little unconventional. It really wasn't what my doctors wanted to start with, but that was what Joel and I prayed about and decided that we would bless somebody else's life. And so I donated my kidney last year, just a little over a year ago, and I'm doing amazing, and my recipient is doing amazing. And so I had no idea that this woman in Oklahoma City was praying for years that God would provide a kidney for her. Her family was praying, and I was an exact tissue and blood match for her. And so God did have these huge plans in mind that I never could have guessed.
Well, and Ginger, let me see if I remember our conversation when you came through at American Family Association and AFR. If I remember right, you said that this was such a rare condition that no surgeons would remove your kidney in order to correct the syndrome because this was dangerous. And what you did was you said, well, how about if I donate the kidney, will you remove it? And because it was a different approach, they actually went ahead and did the surgery. Did I remember that correctly?
Well, mostly. We actually were at Mayo Clinic, and I asked them for that option. They wanted to do a lot of other really invasive things that failed a lot of the time. And so their solution was to do these other surgeries, and then if those all failed, then they would take my kidney out.
Okay.
And I just didn't think that was a good idea. So they did not want to take my kidney out, and so we came home and prayed about it, and I started applying to be a donor. And so I thought about it a little bit out of the box, I guess. But, it was not the first solution, but it was an absolute cure for me. And it seemed like it made more sense. And God used that to bless someone else's life as well.
Yeah, and that's on the other side, the recipient's side of the equation. That's their answer to prayer. They may have been saying, God, why are you waiting? Well, you know, why can't I get a kidney? God has these things lined up. It's sometimes a struggle for us to trust him, but that is the ultimate answer. Our guest has been Ginger Millerman. Ginger, let our listeners know the name of your book, where they can get a copy of it, and how they can get in touch with you, because you are doing some ministry again, and how can they get in touch with you for that?
Yes, they can go to gingermillerman.com. That's M-I-L-L-E-R-M-O-N, gingermillerman.com. The book is called Everything We Need, His Strength for Our Journey. And there's copies of the book and how you can get in touch for women's ministry or concerts there.
Well, Ginger, thank you so much again for being on with us today, and say hi to your husband, Joel. And we continue to hope and pray for the best as you continue to share your heart with men and women all over the country. Thank you again for being on, Ginger.
Thank you so much. God bless.
All right, folks, we're going to take a five-minute break for news. You're listening to Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. We'll be back in five.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.